Well, it's good to be here, because if I wasn't here, I'd be somewhere else. And I tell you, on the Lord's Day, I'm always glad to be in the Lord's house. And you pray for us today as we go through a message. This will be the first time that we preached here in quite a while now. And I feel a little weak today. And in fact, I have been for about the last two, three months. Age is sort of gradually catching up. I'm 86 years old, nearly 87, and so age is sort of catching up. The thing is that I'm thankful for is my wife's ahead of me. She's about 2 weeks earlier, 8 days. See, she even keeps count of the days, so she knows. So she's 8 days ahead of me. So we're glad to be here, though. And you pray for us as we bring our message for the morning. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9. These are verses that we are familiar with. They're used frequently around Christmas time, I think, or the first of the year. But in Isaiah chapter 9, he says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." A wonderful person is the one that we're reading about today. Not only that, but his name is Wonderful. A wonderful person is a person who presents a sphere full of wonders. And if you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and all the things that he has done for us, we just hardly can count all the things that we would say are wonderful for us. The word wonderful means marvelous, a separated one, miraculous, distinguished one, noble one. All of these describe the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But wonderful is the word that I want to look at this morning. It says here, "Now for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." And I want to look at him today in about five different ways. First of all, he is wonderful in his birth. We all understand that he was distinct and different than anyone else. Jesus Christ was virgin born. He did not have a human father. He had a mother, but God was his father. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born there in the city of Bethlehem, in which Jesus Christ was born without a human father, but that God was his father. So that makes him very unique in his birth. Secondly, he is wonderful in his life. If you will, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I meant to tell you, I'm not going to preach long this morning. In fact, I used to preach short all the time when I was pastor of the church, when we had our radio broadcast. We used to have three radio broadcasts every Sunday. One was in the morning at 8:30 till 9. Then we had our morning service from 11 until 12, and that was broadcast live here in Little Rock. And then at 5:30, we had another 30-minute broadcast. And then at 11:30 to 12 midnight, we had what we call the midnight cry. And then for a while during the week, we had a 5-day broadcast in which it was Monday through Friday from 11:45 until 12 o'clock each day. That was a 15-minute broadcast. And my mother would play the piano. She'd give our theme song. And then we'd make some announcements and the things we were going to do. Then she'd play one number. And then we'd have a message that would last about 8 to 9 minutes. And then we would be through at 11:45 till 12. So that we learned to preach short messages then. And I learned to preach short messages even at church. We used to start our preaching service at 11:30. We had music from 11 until about 11:30 with announcements and music and so forth. And then at 11:30, I'd begin preaching and I'd be through by 12 o'clock. So we'd have a 30-minute message and be through. And that was more or less our way that we established everything. And so today, I'm going to give you one of those short ones like that. I hope to be through by 12 o'clock tomorrow. And by that way... Now we'll be through before then, I'm sure. The clock is not back there where I can see it, so I have no idea what time I'm starting, and I don't know what time I'll get through, but when I do, you'll know it. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In other words, what we read here is that Jesus Christ was wonderful in his life in that his life was perfect, sinless. He was God manifest in the flesh, and as such, he had no sin within him whatsoever. Now, the enemy sought to find a flaw in his life. They tried everything to find some kind of a weakness or wickedness in him, but they found none. His life was a perfect, sinless life. And no one could convict or convince him of his sin, either in word, thought, or deed. That's the only one in the whole world that's ever been like that, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sinless in his life. Not only was he wonderful then in his life, as the scripture talks about, but he is also wonderful in his works. No one has ever done the works like the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, many of the prophets of the Old Testament and many of the people of the New Testament, the apostles particularly, we see that they did mighty works also in their lives, but nothing like the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His was a perfect life, and he was perfect in all of his works. You'll notice over in John chapter 21, if you'll turn with me there. In John chapter 21, I read verse 25. He says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." In other words, he was not only perfect and wonderful in his life, but he was also perfect and wonderful in his works. And many of the prophets and the apostles, they also wrought mightily and gloriously, but not as the Lord Jesus Christ himself did. Not only that, but we know that he is wonderful in his words. We have a song that we sing frequently called "Wonderful Words of Life." If I'd have thought about it, I'd ask Brother Will if we could have used that today. But I didn't think to tell him about it. So we remember the song though. "Wonderful Words of Life." And here we see that Jesus Christ had wonderful words. He spoke not as the scribes and the Pharisees, because he spoke with authority. He said, "Never man spake like this," when they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke with understanding, with wisdom and authority of God, for he was and he is God. He alone is the one who had the authority and was able to speak with authority. So he is wonderful in his words. Then as we see the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see and recognize that he was wonderful in his death. No man took his life from him. We know that he died upon the cross, that the Roman soldiers were the ones that crucified him upon the cross. But had he not been willing to die, he would never have died. They were not able to take his life, but he gave his life. And he did so voluntarily. When he died upon the cross, the scripture says that he dismissed his spirit, or gave up the ghost. And he died a ransom for the sins of the world. When Jesus Christ died, he died not for himself, but he died for you and for me. He died for those who will believe in him and trust him and receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. So he died as a means of bringing a ransom to the world. Now, I look at the congregation here this morning, and as I look, I think everyone here has made a profession of faith. I think everybody here is supposed to be saved because you have joined him in belief, repentance, and faith, and then the membership of this church so that you show evidence that you have been saved. But now, he died as intentional and not as an accident. And his death was not upon the cross by accident or by chance, but in fulfillment of all the plan and the purposes of God. We do not need to try and follow the scriptures in the Old Testament now, but we know that all through the Old Testament there is the prediction that Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, would come into the world. And that he would voluntarily go to the cross of Calvary and there give his life an atonement for our sin. And his death then was an intentional death in which he voluntarily gave himself to die upon the cross. He was wonderful then in his death. Then following this, we see that he was also wonderful in his resurrection. That was a capstone of his life. That was his resurrection. We know that he died upon the cross, was buried, and then 3 days and three nights later, he came forth from the grave, a resurrected Savior, proving that he had the power over death, and that his life had been given as a token and as a semblance of what he had promised in the Old Testament and now fulfilled in the New Testament by going to the cross of Calvary and there dying upon the cross. It was there that we see that he defeated Satan and all his enemies. So they thought that they had gained the victory when he went to the cross and died upon the cross. But they realized 3 days and three nights later that the victory they thought they'd received, that really it was his victory, not their victory. And he came out victoriously from the grave as a resurrected Savior 3 days and three nights later after he had been crucified upon the cross. So he was wonderful then also in his resurrection. And now lastly, we look at the fact that he is wonderful. Pardon me. Wonderful in his salvation. You see, he is the only one that has provided salvation for us. And as we look to him, we understand that when he died as our substitute, and he came to die for us, that we might then receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. And so anyone coming to him in simple faith will find and make the amazing discovery that repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is that which provides salvation. So that anyone and everyone that does by repentance and faith trust him as their personal Lord and Savior, that they are forgiven of their sins and they are given eternal life. And so he has been given to us the salvation that he provided in that we have a gift of eternal life, which involves not only that, but the cleansing and the forgiveness of our sins and the glorious entrance into the family of God. We understand and know that our repentance and faith is that which God provides for us and gives to us as we hear the word preached, and that by repentance and faith we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. So he is indeed a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Christ who died for us, gave us his life that we might receive salvation from him. And if there should be, and I don't think there is today as I look at the crowd here, I do not see anyone I believe is lost. But if you should be unsaved, that salvation is provided for all who will turn in repentance and faith and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For this reason, we understand he is that wonderful Savior. Our Father, we pray as we close out our service today, that if there should be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that through repentance and faith, they will turn to him and receive him and receive that forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Brother Will.